Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 413. Tonight we talk a slight bit of news, but mostly AEW and Dynamite. With me tonight is Seth Zillman. Seth, how the hell are you?
Well, it's a two-man show tonight, so it's kind of the... I don't know if we ever had a name for ourselves as being like the Chicago duo with this little brand of ours, but always good to talk some AEW, some wrestling. We got C2E2 around the corner, so I'm going to be a busy man this weekend.
Two-man Chicago power trip. Mm-hmm.
Hey, it works for me.
Keep it wrestling. So the only bit of news in the last 24 hours is that the WWE announced the draft rules and the draft talent pools for night one and night two. And contrary to the logo and the segments with all three general managers, it doesn't seem like NXT will gain any picks, but they are set to lose talent. So here are the draft rules as set forth by WWE. On SmackDown, there will be four rounds, 16 total picks. On Raw, there will be six rounds, 24 total picks. Something new this year is champions on each brand are protected. So there will be no belt swaps. There will be no goofy awkwardness. So I like that.
I think that would have been common sense, but
yeah.
Oh, well.
So the only champions that are not protected are the women's tag team champions, as they are eligible to be drafted. And they
were never really representative of any one particular brand anyway, if I recall the rules.
Well, they've clarified that. They will be drafted, and when they lose, they will then belong to that brand.
Okay, that makes
sense. Lose the titles, I should say.
But the titles can still be defended on other brands, right?
Right, correct. They're just okay. the Kabuki Warriors, let's say they get drafted to Raw. They can still defend on any brand, but once they lose the titles, then they're exclusive to Raw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
SmackDown will pick first on Friday. Raw will pick first on Monday. And the rosters will lock Monday, May 6th. That is 2 days after Backlash. And I like how they threw that in there because they've never been locked before. So... we will see. The draft pools of talent are interesting because they do include some talent that are currently injured and other talent that is not in the pool also injured. So, for example, Seth Rollins is available to be drafted, but he had surgery. Rhea Ripley, recently injured, not available to be drafted. So, kind of confusing on...
yeah.
What makes people qualify to be drafted or not?
Well, it might just be whatever fits the program that they're going to have when they're coming back from said injury.
Yeah, I guess. CM Punk injured, eligible to be drafted. People who haven't been on TV since the last draft. Odyssey Jones. Also available to be drafted. So yeah. I'm like, okay.
The 300-pound guy who made his debut on their under 200-pound show.
Yeah. Also, based on how the draft pools were written, tag teams and factions count as one pick. So in other words, if you were to draft the LWO, you get all members of the LWO. That is the draft. That will start tomorrow, Friday, April 26th, on SmackDown for night one. We have one interesting tidbit about the NFL draft, but we kind of have to talk about Dynamite before we get to that. So, with that being said, Dynamite on April 25th, to me, had some ups and some downs, which is kind of how most shows go. But
yeah.
Personally, I felt that they did a huge disservice to Swerve Strickland by just having him open the show in a throwaway match that didn't mean anything. And with no promo time, no celebration, he made history and they pretty much put him out on a match and got him out of there. And that was the end. That was the last you saw of him.
Yeah.
Now,
and you
granted,
can even say he didn't even open up the show. What opened up the show was Trent attacking Orange Cassidy. So, you know, they did that thing. And really, unless you watch the pay-per-view, I mean, they did a split up a week or two ago, but it was one of those things. They had no pay-per-view package. They didn't really go over what had happened on the pay-per-view. It was just like the opening of another show. And so they have that segment. And then Swerve comes out with the belt, wrestles a 50-50 match against the TV champion, who, while he's the TV champion, we know he's not going to be beating Swerve. So you might as well just had him work a squash match, as far as I'm concerned. Now, this is going to sound like I'm defending it, and I guess in a way I am, because I'm trying to explain what I think the logic is. My understanding is they're saving Swerve's promo, celebration, whatever you want to call it, for Saturday on Collision, because that's going to immediately follow an NBA game. Now, I don't know why they couldn't have done both and have them talk here and talk on Collision, but you know, but that was my big issue with the show. I know I texted off air, of course, that I was going to have some grievances to air about AEW, and that's really the big thing. Is it's just, unless you actually watched the pay-per-view, you probably wouldn't know what was going on, because they'd be talking about all the stuff that happened and they're just talking about it. I'm not saying they have to show the paper. They could even show still shots and have Tony or Excalibur narrate what happened. But you know, it's something they need to work on. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I didn't mean to get in your way.
You're fine. So yeah, the other thing you could have complained about Dynamite was the audio issues that TBS was suffering from. About halfway through the show, it had a giant echo with it that made hearing what people were saying almost inaudible, because it sounded like they had the feed that was going out to the viewers and then they had the feed that was going out to the crowd. And it just was like laid on top of each other with about 1 to 2 seconds apart from each. And it made promos nearly impossible to hear. Anything backstage was impossible to hear. So, you know, 5 years on and they still have these production issues. It's just, I mean, granted, it's not every week, but I mean, it just makes them look so second rate when they do that. Not that they're doing it on purpose, but it's just bad.
I'll mention this, even though it makes me look like an idiot. I was watching on a TV I don't usually watch on, so I just assumed it was the TV effects that I was listening to. Because some people, like, you know, they watch their sports on the live setting or whatever. So I just thought it was that. But okay, yeah, if it was audio issues, then yeah, they got to fix that too.
Goddamn TV, turn the rabbit ears around. All right. Well, what I did like was, of course, Toni Storm, and she cut a promo after Dynamite that was on social media this morning that was amazing. And I can't say enough good things about Toni Storm. She's going to be taking on Anna Jay on Saturday on Collision, and that's going to be great.
And if you haven't seen the promo, she says something about doing something to Anna Jay's butt cheeks. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes. I also liked Willow Nightingale's championship celebration, even being interrupted by Mercedes Moné, because Willow stood her ground and basically got Mercedes to admit that she blames her for her injury that cost her nearly a year of her career. So, yeah, I'm trying to think. It would be nice if Willow could retain at Double or Nothing, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does very much look like Mercedes is actually going to be the heel in this, because now, first off, the whole gimmick that she has, the look that she has and the way she presents herself is all heel. A person who calls herself the CEO and just acts like she's better than everybody, that doesn't come across as very good guy like. So if they are doing it this way, and the fact that Willow, who, hey, I love the smiling, happy Willow as much as the next person, but in a case like this, yeah, she's got to be a little bit more serious. She's got to be a little bit more in your face, because this has been going on for a while. She's clearly getting disrespected. So far, so good with the angle, but you know, I don't have my hopes up very high.
Yeah, agreed. And another thing I didn't like is how, and this is going back to Swerve, the AEW world title seemed on this episode to be revered less than the TBS championship, the IWGP world heavyweight title, and you know, every other title that featured on this show, the AEW women's title, all seemed like they were a level above the AEW world title. And that's your world title for this brand.
Yeah. All the other champions got talk time except the actual world champion of the company they're representing.
Yeah. So wasn't a fan of that. Weird segment with Chris Jericho and his new character of being the learning tree. He's ditched Judas as his theme song, which I feel is a long time coming. If you're going to be a dick, then you can't be coming out there popping the crowd with your music.
Exactly. Yeah. I figured that was part of a heel turn that they've just been slow burning, it seems.
Yeah. So then he's interrupted by Big Bill, who says that he wants to sit under the learning tree of Chris Jericho. So I don't know if he's going to form yet another stable or if he's just going to stick to one-on-one and be with Big Bill. But if it's the third or fourth stable now, I don't know. I've lost track. I don't know. The crowd, if you heard at the pay-per-view, the crowd's kind of done with Chris Jericho. I don't know if that was just St. Louis. We'll have to see how they respond moving forward. But that wasn't boo, you're a heel heat on the pay-per-view. That was go away heat.
And I was wondering what they were doing with Jericho turning heel again already, because he just turned a couple months back because of Don Callis. He seems to have forgotten all about Don Callis now. And I thought, well, maybe it's because Kenny Omega is having his issues. Maybe they don't know when Kenny Omega is going to be back. And then we hear that we're going to hear from Kenny Omega next week. And I believe they're in Canada again. So it's maybe that's why. But it's like, if Kenny's returning around the corner, then why is Jericho heel? Or did you just abandon the Don Callis feud? Maybe they're just going to be going all in with Callis feuding with Ospreys and Aussie Open, I would assume, because I'm assuming Aussie Open would side with Will Ospreay if Will Ospreay is going to split from Don Callis.
Yeah, it seems like the Golden Jets are a thing of the past, and that ship sailed because Jericho's doing his new thing. Don Callis, as you said, is tangled with Will Ospreay, and I think that we're going to put Kenny feuding with the Elite. So next week it is in Kenny's hometown and Jarrett's residence of Winnipeg. So I know Jarrett's going to the show next week. So next week's Dynamite Wrap should be an interesting show with his live perspective. And then we had the main event segment, which I thought was, let's see. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. I mean, I see the good in it. I see the bad in it. I just, it was just, I don't know. I guess it was surreal because we hadn't seen Tony as a character on screen up until this point. So it took 5 years for him to change his mind on that. But Jack Perry, they had weaved this thread throughout the whole show that Jack Perry was with the Elite and they were in Tony Khan's office early on. They came out of Tony Khan's office in another segment, and Alex Marvez was trying to find out the scoop and see if Jack was reinstated, and nobody would say anything except for Matt Jackson, who said, I can't tell you anything, but the scoop is that Jack Perry and Tony Khan will meet face to face in the ring later tonight. And so we get to that, and Jack comes out and gets a babyface reaction at first, and says that he just wants to do what's right by AEW, and he wants to speak with Tony Khan. And he asked Tony about getting reinstated because he just wants to do what's best for AEW and kind of put AEW back to its origin points. And Tony, you know, applauds Jack, and they raise each other's hands, and then they go in for a hug. And it seems like Tony's all about reinstating Jack Perry and letting bygones be bygones.
And anybody who's watched wrestling for more than a year knows what is happening next.
Right. And if you didn't, Jack was more than willing to tell you without telling you, because he turned to the camera and he gave the same shit-eating grin that he gave on the pay-per-view when his mask came off. And he raised Tony's hand in the air and he pointed to them with the microphone in his hand. And much like the turn from Ludwig Kaiser on Giovanni Vinci, it just lingered a little too long. And Jack takes the microphone and hits Tony Khan in the stomach / rib cage, whatever you want to say. Down goes Tony like he was shot. The Elite, Okada, and the Bucks come out, and the Bucks initially feign like, "What are you doing? This is the owner, blah, 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 but this is not what we're..." And then they pick up Tony, and it looks like they're going to hit him with the BTE trigger at first, but they help him up to his feet just in time to position him in for the TK driver, formerly the Meltzer driver. And Tony is down and out. But I will say, I've seen it a few times, Bucks heavily protected Tony on this move. It was very well.
Tony looks like he weighs like 160 pounds, so it probably wasn't too hard to get him up.
Right. But very protected on the way down. And the bigger surprise was Shad Khan came down to check on his son, who, you know, they're in town because the NFL draft started tonight. And the funny thing was, is a whole bunch of the babyface nobodies came out after the fact. It's like, where the hell were you 2 minutes ago? Mm-hmm. But all the babyface jabrones came out and, oh my God, and they're, you know, tending to the fallen Tony Khan. So we have this angle now where Jack Perry is seemingly not only reinstated, but with the Elite. And probably the best part of this was Matthew and Nicholas saying off mic, but to the crowd where they could be heard, "Thank you, Jacksonville. Thank you for coming out tonight. Good showing. Good to see you. Thank you. Thank you very much."
Yeah. This is the same type of thing security tells you when they're ushering you out, you know.
Right. So, yeah, that was, like I said, it was a thing. I could see the good. I could see the bad. A lot of people are on the fence about it online. Mm-hmm. So,
right. And I'm kind of with that as well, because it's like, I think what they are doing in storyline is it's positioning the Bucks to be the authority figures. And okay, that I guess, because I think most people would agree, Tony's not a very effective authority figure on camera, because everybody knows he's not a wrestling guy. Nobody buys him as a tough guy or anything like that. He's not a guy who can cut a promo. But the authority figure is just so overdone. It is beyond stale. I mean, WWE's been doing a little better with it because they've been lightening up on it. They still have them, and obviously with Nick Aldis and no, I'm blanking on his name. They were both NWA Adam champions Pierce. Anyway, but Adam Pearce, yes. And they're great in their roles, but you know, still, it's just having the authority figure that just shows up every week is just so played out, especially the ones that can affect what happens going on in the ring. But I will say, I will give Tony Khan the props for selling the angle, because there was like pictures or footage of him on NFL television. He's got a neck brace on.
Yep, I was just getting to that.
Yeah.
As I said, tonight is the night one of the NFL draft, and I could have turned it off right after the Bears' second pick, but I wanted to see Jacksonville's war room of the cons in there, and I wanted to see if Tony was going to be selling the injury. And sure enough, he's got one of those white foam neck braces on after a photoshopped version of a neck brace being on him circulated this morning. And somebody had posted the original picture saying, sorry to disappoint you, this is not real. Mm-hmm. Then he's actually wearing a neck brace. And I was watching NFL Network, and they said, Tony Khan becomes the first NFL executive in a draft room, shaking off the effects of a pile driver from the night before. He goes, that's what happens when AEW and NFL collide. And I'm like, oh, they so got what they wanted with this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was great. So we will have to see, much like most of their shocking storylines or twists, the key will be the follow-up. And sometimes they do, and other times they don't. So we will have to see how this is followed up. I would say, even though we saw him on NFL TV tonight, I would say Tony should not be on AEW TV moving forward. If somebody wants to read a statement from Tony, that's fine. Like if Tony Schiavone reads a statement from Tony Khan, do that on Dynamite. Do just a recap on Collision and Rampage this week. But don't have Tony Khan on TV for, I would say, at least close to double or nothing. Let the Bucks run roughshod. Let them do whatever. Maybe Kenny's going to come back and say that he's not physically, medically cleared, but he's going to be the new executive or whatever. I don't know.
I'd be on board with that.
Because I have a feeling, I mean, he just had surgery. I can't imagine that he's medically cleared. So I think maybe they're just going to bring him back on TV in a non-wrestling capacity for a while. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. So any final thoughts?
Oh, no, not really. I mean, Double or Nothing is looking like it's going to be a pretty good card. And a lot of news is going to drop this next week with WWE. And like I said, in the geek world, I'm going to be working overtime covering everything for C2E2. So very exciting time, not just be a wrestling fan, but to be a geek in general.
Very nice. Somebody online had pointed out that if Will Ospreay defeats Roderick Strong at Double or Nothing, the mid-card title holders, mid-card for AEW, will be Adam Copeland, Will Ospreay, and Kazuchika Okada.
That's pretty freaking amazing right there.
So, all right. Well, our next episode will feature night one results of the WWE draft. And yes, as I said previously, they did do this on purpose to capitalize on the NFL draft buzz. So we will have to see how the presentation is, if it changes it at all. Maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, they'll do something on TV to get NXT some picks or something. I don't know. So we'll have to see, and we will talk about it on our next episode. But until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. We will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.